After Jesus' death and resurrection, disciples spent time with Jesus in various places and events, but they still had a question to ask Jesus. So the first reading is from Acts chapter 1. So when the apostles came together, they put this question to Jesus. Master, they said, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not your business to know about times and dates, he replied. The Father has placed all that under his own direct authority. What will happen, though, is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. As Jesus said this, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were gazing into heaven as he disappeared. Then, lo and behold, two men appeared, dressed in white, standing beside them. Galileans, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven. Then they went back to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, which is close to Jerusalem, about the distance you could travel on a Sabbath. They here means Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, entered the city and went to the upstairs room where they were staying. They all gave themselves to prayer single-heartedly with the women, including Mary, Jesus' mother, and his brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord according to John. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. We read from John's Gospel, chapter 17. This is our Lord Jesus' prayer. We call it Lord's Prayer or Priestly Prayer. The entire chapter of John, chapter 17, is a prayer, Jesus' prayer. That's called the Lord's Prayer. But we are saying another prayer as Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, that's the prayer we need to be praying. That's the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. But this prayer is Jesus' prayer, his prayer. He prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for people who would believe in Jesus through his disciples' preaching or through their words. So wonderful prayer. I'm not going to go in a lot of detail, but we will look into the prayer and learn three important things. This is the longest prayer of Jesus recorded in the Bible. Longest prayer, of course, yes. But then this prayer is still being prayed. This prayer is still valid, still relevant. What is that prayer? The prayer is that we all become one. Being one in Christ, we all become one. That prayer is a continuous prayer. I said there are three things we will learn quickly. First is, we are one because Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives in all of us, therefore we are one. You know, in this passage we did not read yet, we read up to 11. If you read further, you would notice these expressions: I in them, Father is in me, me in them, they in us. It's a kind of a tongue twister. This expression keeps coming. I in them and they in me. We think Christianity is full of rules, regulations, and traditions. But Christianity is living with Jesus. Jesus lives in us. That's what we did exactly in the baptism. Going into the water reminds us of dying with Jesus. Rising from the water reminds us of new life in Jesus. Because Jesus lives, we also live. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we will also rise from the dead. Because Jesus lives, he is we are alive and he is living in us. He lives in all of us. And therefore we belong to one family. We have seen bulbs, right? In the church we have bulbs, many different sizes of bulbs. Bulbs may have different shapes, sizes, and colors, but the same electricity flows through all of them. In the same way, we are from different languages, cultures, countries, and background. Jesus lives in us, and therefore we are a family. What connects all of us is because Jesus lives in us, and therefore we are a family. Remember, we are one family around one table. We are one family around one table, and Jesus is our Lord, our Savior. We entered into this family not by status, education, wealth, or achievement. No. We entered into it by his grace. He invited us. He died for us. He rose again the third day, and he invited us. We stand by grace equally. There is no one who is higher than the other. We are all equal in grace. So my primary identity, or your primary identity, is not in the world. Our primary identity is in Jesus. So he lives in all of us. Therefore, we don't compete with one another. We do not look down on each other. We walk together as brothers and sisters. Very simple understanding. Because Jesus lives in us, we are one family. He is the one who brings us all together. The second point that I want to make is, we are one through love and forgiveness. Jesus is praying in this chapter that we become completely one. We become complete unity. Oh, that's a big thing. True unity is not uniformity. God is not wanting us to be uniform. Unity does not mean everyone think alike. Everyone behaves exactly alike. That's not what unity. We are different people. Different part of the world. But we are gathered together in Jesus' name, where Christ's character is exhibiting. Because Jesus lives in us, we will be exhibiting Christ's character. Now, we become completely one by forgiving each other. We are quick in forgiving one another. This is a forgiving community. Recently, one of our relatives visited our home. 82 years old woman. She was not talking to me that freely. So I checked with Susan why she is not talking to me. She said she is afraid of you. And I said, why she is afraid of me? Then Susan said, pastors are judgmental. Pastors are judgmental, and therefore she is afraid of you. I don't know whether she made the statement or Susan made the statement. Pastors are judgmental. This is a misunderstanding the world has. Church is judgmental. Church is full of rules. Church is full of traditions. Church is full of regulations. Church is full of God's people, and they exhibit God's character, Jesus' character. Of course, church failed. Of course, pastors are sometimes judgmental. They, through their judgmental behavior, rejected people. But that's not the way this community is built. This community is built to exhibit Christian character, Christ character, which is forgiving. Which is forgiving. Look at Jesus. He is always standing with open arms, receiving, accepting, welcoming, inviting, embracing. That's the character that we need to be exhibiting. So we are not a group of people who are criticizing the world. We are not the group of people who are judging others. We are a group of people standing, embracing people. Embracing people. So this is a forgiving community. This is also a community which is serving others. We serve humbly. We serve humbly. In this church, we have got many opportunities to serve. What a wonderful church. Our people are there to serve. They serve humbly, without making any noise, without making their presence known. If you look at this church building, many things are happening here. I'm not the one who is doing. I'm doing nothing. These are the people who are doing the work. Look at the paintings. There are many paintings coming up. And look at something is coming back. And we have recently changed the flooring of our stepping stones room. Many things. We serve humbly. It's a serving community. And I know that some of you are yet to serve. I encourage you to come and serve. Enough advertisement is made on our church app. Volunteer yourself. Come. Lot of talents we have that all of them have to be used in this church. We are a serving community. Jesus served his own disciples. That's what we have to exhibit. And this is the community which is caring. Care for one another. Last Sunday, Chris was standing here and she said something about the struggle that she was going through. Everybody felt very bad. But after the service, immediately someone grabbed her hand and took her to a place and they sat and they prayed. It's a caring community. So this is the community which is embracing people. This is the community which is forgiving one another. This is the community which is serving one another. And this is the community which is caring one another. And when we do that, we are united. When we do that, we exhibit the complete unity. Of course, we failed. Of course, we failed. But this community is still continuing all over the world because Jesus lives among us. In our failures, he is helping us. Finally, our unity becomes a witness in the world. Our unity coming together is a witness in the world. We are united, Jesus' prayer, so that the world may know that Jesus is Lord. We are united so that the world may know that Jesus is sent by the Father. That's the prayer of Jesus here. Our unity is the witness to the world. Suppose you are walking down a dark street in a notorious area, and all of a sudden, you notice a group of young people coming out of the house. They walk towards you. Will you not be frightened? Will you not be worried? Will you not try to run from that place? But if you were told that they were coming out of a Bible study, would you still be frightened? When you hear this, will that not give you comfort? Will that not give you peace? Will that not give you some kind of an assurance? We are the witness. When we come together and dwell together in unity, that is the witness to the world out there. We are one because Jesus lives in us. Our unity is made complete through exhibiting Jesus' character among us. Loving, forgiving, serving, and caring. Our unity brings hope to this world. May the dear Lord help us to take decision to follow him and to remain in this unity. God bless us all. Amen.